Greetings in Christ Jesus our Lord. Overcomers.ca. For the Lord our God is holy. Part 5, Facets of the Glorified Body, Addendum 5. Scriptures. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Romans 18:19-23. And then one of my favorites, 1 Corinthians 15:13-22. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And now the best part. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept, brackets died. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And then carrying on in the same chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 to 49. Another favorite part. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Albeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. From 2 Corinthians 5:1-4. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Job chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job 14, verses 7 to 15. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will yet sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth, and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me secret until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldst appoint me a set time, and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. Joel 2, verses 1 to 11. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth a stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march, every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk, every one in his path, and when they fall on the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great. For he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? End scriptures. Five visions. First vision. The body glorified during the age of the millennium, or the age wherein Christ rules over the nations with the rod of iron. As the Lord did sit and rule over the nations of men, I saw those people whom he had glorified in new bodies move and motion as the Lord moved and motioned. As the Lord did move and work and express words from his seated position upon the throne, so did the glorified company of overcomers, each one individually, move and work and action in identical manner. As the Lord did think with his mind upon the throne, so did the overcomers think with the very same thoughts simultaneously with the Lord's mind. As the overcomers thought while walking about in the midst of all the creation, so did the Lord upon the throne over all think. While the overcomer had thought, the Lord thought the same. While the Lord did think, the overcomer thought the same. Both were of one mind, one body, one action, both verbally and in holy motivation and in purpose. The Lord was fully omnipotent, able to be in all places at once by the power of his Spirit. What amazed me was that the overcomer and glorified bodies were now also the same. They were able to appear with the Lord upon the throne, as well as upon the earth, as well as under the earth in the realms of hell, where some were yet in death and dying. All three realms the overcomer did appear all at the very same time. They did not appear just in one place. They appeared in as many places as was necessary for the oracles of the Lord to be carried out, for the overcomers formed this government of the Lord and of his kingdom. The rod of iron the Lord did wield over the nations, the same rod of iron the overcomers did wield. They did walk in spirit at the same time as they had walked in their newly raised bodies. Not only did they appear upon the throne, upon the earth or under the earth, they also appeared throughout the entire infinite expanse of the cosmos. For their spirits had melded as one with the spirit of the Creator, so that there was no division of the spirit of an overcomer and the spirit of the Lord. Both were exactly the same in this glorified state. Both filled all things, including the cosmos and including all space and time. The overcomers were able to dissolve from the view of natural eyes and appear before natural eyes at will. They were able to walk through any place upon the earth with nothing blocking their way. No wall or building was able to keep them out. No place on the earth was able to stop them from appearing or disappearing. Also, the peoples of the earth and of the nations, when viewing the overcomers, they did see the full person of the Lord, as though they saw the Lord himself in person. The overcomers were that much in identity with the risen Christ. These things are hard to comprehend, but it is best to understand that the overcomers, at the point of glorification at the coming of Christ, will be as he is in all realms. End vision. Second vision. I saw also that the overcomers were given a holy mandate from the throne to bear about in their glorified bodies the oracles of the Lord as scripts or texts of holy governance. The Lord would move within the overcomers and without the overcomers to place in them his ordinances and laws according to his holy oracle. As each time frame of the next age unfolded, the overcomers received this instruction in the form of a dispensation of a text or a scroll unfolded and displayed as a portion of holy government. So then, as the Lord did unfold his purpose in the age that is dawning, so did the overcomer have that holy governance openly displayed in their glorified bodies, and all of creation, the nations, the cosmos itself, all could clearly read the oracles of the Lord in the bodies of these now in the eternal glorified saints, even these that did overcome all things in Christ. At the same time as these scripts or texts did lay out the governance of the Lord, angels in glory, multitudes of angels, did minister unto the nations the grace and help they needed to obey these ordinances. The angels comforted the nations while they obeyed the ordinances of the Lord through the overcomers. The angels themselves subjected themselves to the scripts and texts and ordinances found in the bodies of the overcomers with great joy. As they submitted to these ordinances, great songs of worship and praise ascended from the angelic host unto God who did sit upon the throne, for the time of his promise to bring restitution to all creation had come, and these did sing in worship for such a time. Such was the governance of the Lord, that there was nothing in the world of men that could resist it, for it was a governance that was clearly displayed and seen and read in the bodies of those whom the Lord had raised up to sit with him upon his eternal throne and vision. The third vision, the following one, the following vision from chapter 33 of the New Jerusalem series called The Glorified Body, as well as chapter 4, The Power of God. Therefore, the third vision. Then the angel which supported me took me aside to show me the magnificence of those who would be called overcomers, even these who forsook all things to be like their Lord. I saw in its entire scope the New Jerusalem from bottom to the top, the foundations as those they were steps going upwards and ending at the base of the gates and the jasper wall. Far above the pinnacle of the city, on the top of the Mount Zion, in the midst of the city, I saw a fire enfolding in upon itself, and in the midst of the billowing waves of fire, a throne set, and one who sat upon the throne, even the Ancient of Days, the Lord God Almighty, the great I Am that Moses knew. As I looked at the fire, it began to grow and to envelop other parts of the holy city. The fire would enlarge and enlarge, enveloping more and more of the city. Looking down at the foundation, I saw the overcomers, each individual one climbing up the foundation stones as one would crawl up a staircase. On their heads were flames of fire from the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which was given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ when they first began their pilgrimage to become those who would be called overcomers. As they clambered up the foundation steps, I saw that more and more the fire enfolding itself would lick down upon them, slowly and more enveloping them in an even greater measure than the flame of the fire of baptism which they already possessed. As they climbed higher on the foundations, the fire would consume them more and more until finally they came to the top of the foundation stones and they were fully engulfed, each one individually, in the fire which enfolded in upon itself, which was the very same fire in which the throne of God was set. So when I looked upon God and upon the small overcomer, the fire was the same. The engulfing of the fire was the same, and the holiness of the individual overcomer was the same as he who is known as the Ancient of Days. And my heart was shaken greatly at this sight, as I saw men and women who were but ordinary people being consumed in this fire which enfolded in upon itself. I saw back to the beginning of the climb up the foundation stones that the overcomers were given power from God to enable them to even move their feet or their arms forward to climb. They were unable to climb except for the power that came from God. This power from God was in two places. The power from God was above them, drawing them upwards, and this power from God was the impetus within them to give them strength to move towards this drawing. As God drew them, and as they had impetus to move forward in this drawing, they would then climb. Otherwise, they had no way of having any strength to do so, but were unable to even make the first step. This was bare, intelligent faith in action, not doubt, and boldness, not fear. That was the power that came from God. As they climbed, the power increased more and more. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Matthew 13:12. End third vision. And now to the fourth vision. The following fourth vision is from chapter 51 of the Epistle Mysteries, which is titled, The Mystery of Our Change, Bone of His Bone. Fourth vision. The sword of the Lord, even by the tip of the sword, then cleaved apart one side of the larger bone, revealing inside it the mass of marrow and the formation of blood. As the Lord's sword had cleaved this apart, the marrow became fully visible, so also the formation of the blood, which blood was created with the mystery of iniquity, fully rampant within it. Down deep in the marrow were the platelets of red blood, each based on this earthly body, and created as one with the blood of the world since the time of Adam, even until this day. But a change is about to happen. For I saw beneath the platelets of blood, in the marrow of the bone, a swirling bright cloud of glory, even in seed form. This cloud did mass itself, and grew, and changed into a greater brilliance as it emerged through the platelets of blood and the marrow, and came forth even to consume entirely the bones, and then the entire body of flesh. What I saw was the change from the natural body to a body now glorified. For the swirling mass that came forth in such a manner was the Spirit of the Lord in resurrection power, even fashioning the body like unto his own raised body. When the swirling mass of glory came through the natural platelets of blood, the blood lost their earthly bondages and was changed. The blood did not become blood as it was once before, but it became blood that emerged from the swirling mass of glory. It was blood that was made from the blood of the covenant, even the blood of the living Christ, who now moved by spirit in the physical frame. This change and this movement of the mass of glory that I saw only took 1 millisecond in time to do, for the entire body to be changed and eternally glorified. End fourth vision. Fifth vision. Then saw I the Lord. He stood upon the earth in full regency of his glory and power. The full measure of his person was clearly seen even by those who had passed from this world and who died in hope of the resurrection. As the Lord stood upon the earth, I saw gathered before him a little group of people. This group of people were joined with others who were of the same group, who had once been alive but had died in times past, and who were no longer living on the earth in bodies of flesh and blood. These altogether stood before the Lord, who himself was now standing upon the earth in his splendor. The Lord then held out his arm over the heads of these who stood by him, and in the Lord's hand was a cloud of great glory. So great was this weight of glory that the brilliance of it was equaled to the brilliance of the glory of the Lord itself. The glory that he held forth in his hand and over the heads of those who stood before him was the same glory by which the Lord had now clothed himself. What I saw was that the hand of the Lord was not in a palm up fashion, but a palm down fashion, so that the glory which his hand held was able to descend out of his hand and light upon the heads of the waiting ones. These, who then were together an army, were thus brought into the very same brilliance of glory as was the Lord. The brightness was the same, the weight of glory was the same, and their bodies were the same. These all became one with the Lord as his army in the brilliance of glory and in bodies which could not die. So it was, the Lord raised in the first resurrection these who stood by waiting, and they were glorified. And vision. And five visions. In the world of Christendom, the magnitude of counterfeits has come full scale. There is now in the earth a counterfeit for every holy thing. There is a counterfeit Jesus, a counterfeit Holy Spirit, a counterfeit Heavenly Father. There are counterfeit or false gifts, purposes, prophecies, teachings, evangelisms, building efforts, mind control games, obsessive behaviors that are not becoming to saints. There is an overabundance of stellar gazers and horoscope readers. The world has become rife with the massive adultery purported by those who claim they know Christ. Instead, these who were of Christendom's order have intermingled themselves with the world just as the ancient Israel did. They have done exactly the same. Counterfeits galore cover the earth. Every feasible excuse is given for them also. Men state that they are free to worship as they want, to be as they want, to move and walk and talk as they want. Man has become an entity unto himself, and the reins that were supposed to be tied to the heartstrings of believer are cut off by bad doctrine. The easy way is the accepted way. They seek escape, not victory, wealth, not overcoming power. Such is the counterfeits of this day. The gifts, fruits, motions, and actions of all that is holy is now counterfeited and held up as truth and as the example of holiness by the world of Christendom. But there is no counterfeiting of the glorified body. There is no counterfeiting of the army of the Lord. No one will be able to imitate, even if it is by bodily materialism from demonic powers, those whom the Lord is coming to glorify. The glorified overcomers are the one standard that the Lord has raised up over the nations of the earth, which standard is also the full text amplified of the word of the Lord itself. All of that is found in the glorified body of the overcomer. Hear this well, dear reader of these pages. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one thus far who has a glorified body. Now we know from the scriptures that when Jesus died upon the cross, that his spirit came forth out of his body and did three things. First, and most importantly, his spirit tore the veil of the temple from top to bottom with a huge earthquake. That tearing of the veil and that earthquake was done by the Prince of Peace. No one else can claim that it was done by any other power. It was not done by geotechnical global movements of tectonic plates in the earth. It was done by the King of Kings, who had finished the sacrifice. He first then tore the veil from top to bottom for two reasons. The first reason was so that God himself would now be free to come out from the Holy of Holies and come unto the nations of the earth. The second reason was so that man could now freely come unto God in the Holy of Holies. The second thing the Spirit of Jesus did was that in the same earthquake, he opened the graves of the saints who had laid in graves around Jerusalem. These came out of their graves and were seen walking the streets of the city. I also believe that this is why Joseph gave commandment concerning his bones. He had a revelation that the Lord himself would make the final atonement on Golgotha, and Joseph wanted to be a part of that resurrection. But how can I say that Jesus was the only one who had a glorified body when these rose also? With what body did they come? After all, they must have been made new, sown in death and incorruption, they must have put on incorruption, sown in weakness, they must have been raised in strength, sown mortal, they must have been raised immortal. I believe that these raised also ascended with Jesus after his resurrection at the end of the 40 days. These became part of the clouds that received Jesus out of sight. However, the seventh trumpet had not yet sounded. The army of the Lord was not yet completed. Yet these yet without us are not yet made perfect. It is when the tally of the Lord's army is complete that the whole shall be glorified. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Hebrews 11:39-40. Some may argue that they have glorified bodies, but if so, why then do they not appear now in the earth? Why do they not now govern in the earth? Why are they not now seen, freely glorified amongst the nations of men? It is because of the timing of the Lord and tallying up the full measure of his overcomers, so that they together may walk forth into this very world in the glorified state. This is the only conclusion I come to in my study of the Word. The third thing Jesus did was he descended into hell, and there he preached unto the spirits in prison. Reading from 1 Peter 3:18-20, For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein a few, eight souls, were saved by water. These had the victorious Savior come to preach to them. Why would Jesus do that if those in hell had no hope? Nay, they received the living word even in their perished state. The gates of hell could not resist the Spirit of Jesus. Not only did Christ descend to them, he descended lower than any that existed there. Christ lowered himself far below any that were resident in hell since the time of Noah's flood, so that Christ now fills the volume of human history. He fills all the expanse from the lowest of the lowest hell to the highest place at the right hand of God. Christ fills all things. He freely descended to them so that he might bring them unto himself in glory. My personal belief is that it was a resurrection, an emptying out of hell of all they that had died in the first world. Those that perished while the first world remained covered in the flood. So then, the first world, raised from their ungodly state, came as spirits to join the ones raised from around Jerusalem. And then after 40 days, they, as a conglomerate, rescued people, formed the clouds that received the Savior out of sight. So then, the time of the reception of the glorified body is yet in front of us. In front of all they that have had hope of it, it is yet to come to us. But it shall come. It shall be given. It shall be done in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. This is the true rapture, to be caught up in the victory of Christ over all the spoiled principality and power. caught up to rule over all things, caught up to the height of being found with Jesus at the right hand of the Father, with all other powers being made subject unto him. That is the final place of our faith, and it is done here while we stand upon the earth. The overcomers have one distinct marking that will tell you if they are part of this soon-to-be-glorified company of sons and daughters. They bear all the marks of the cross. Let me say that again. The overcomers have one distinct marking that will tell you if they are a part of this soon-to-be-glorified company of sons and daughters. They bear all the marks of the cross. And at the point of glorification, the cross, in its all-consuming power, will be complete and at an end. When, and only when, that day comes, will the cross have done all its work. The power and scope of it will be needed no longer. The finality of its power to separate the carnal mind from the mind of the Spirit will be at an end. This catching up, this rapture, happens while we stand upon the earth. It is here that this final victory comes. In this wise shall the Lord come. Through the pineal gland, the Spirit of holiness and infinite power, the complete person of Christ, pour down into the body of the overcomer. Let me say that again. Through the pineal gland shall the Spirit of holiness and infinite power, the complete person of Christ, pour down into the physical body of the overcomer. The inner elements of the body and the inner thoughts of the heart will then be consumed by the descent and manifested presence of Christ in but a split second moment of time. The transformation will be eternal, and it will be complete, and there will be no more necessary thing to be added to it. No further growth in learning anything will be needed, for all the full counsel of the Lord will be their mind, and all the person of the Father will be their portion. The infinite size, weight, and person of God will reside in each overcomer, not God broken down into smaller pieces and spread about the tallied number of overcomers, but God in full person in each one, as each one abides alone, where they are now, scattered throughout the nations. Each individual overcomer will have all the complete fullness of the Lord infinitely upon them. No part of the Lord lacking at all in any area, not lacking in wisdom, not lacking in understanding, not lacking in anything of the personality of the Father. All who had seen Jesus saw the Father. All who will see the overcomer will see exactly the same. There will finally be a people in the world of men in whom there is no lack. Flowing from within them will be the everlasting blood of the covenant, the eternal life of the living Christ, without any restricted measure, flowing through their veins. Eternal shall the mortal cells of their body be, unlimited in power to raise and to resuscitate the world of men for whom Christ died and redeemed. This is the heritage of the overcomer, the place of their future life. Their life of being found deathless in the midst of this world and then bringing the entire creation into that deathless state. Such is the honor given to they that overcome. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.